Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As we come to the end of our series on Emmanuel, so what? God is with us, so what are we going to do about it? We reflect on the command and commission that Jesus gave us. So let me read from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." God is with us at all times and in all places, and he asked us to share the good news about him with others so that they too may know the wonder of God with them. So this week we look at Emmanuel, so share the gospel with others. The first thing to say is that we are all called to be disciples who make disciples. We know this because Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. But perhaps some of us might like to argue that Jesus was only really speaking to those specific disciples there at that specific time. I mean, it could be argued that the news about Christianity has spread pretty well by now. We might be tempted to think that most people have heard something about Jesus by now, so it isn't really that urgent or important for every Christian to share the news about Jesus. People already know and have made their own minds up about Jesus. But Jesus was speaking to all of us when he made his statement. And how do we know this for certain? Because he said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus instructed every believer who has been and will be till the end of the age to go and make disciples. Jesus has been given authority, all authority in heaven and earth, and he tells us with that authority to go and make disciples. As such, it is our only response should be to make every effort to share the good news and make disciples. This is a mission for all of us till the end of the age. It's also a mission for all of us in every place. When speaking with his disciples at the beginning of the book of Acts, before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said to them in Acts 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We know that God has given some people the special gift of being an evangelist, and so not all of us are called to be evangelists, but we are all called to be witnesses of Jesus to the people and places around us. We are called to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, obviously, we aren't all going to be able to actually go and witness to those literal geographical places. However, we can use these places as a metaphor. Jerusalem can be used to refer to your close networks. These would be your friends and your family, those that you are closest to and spend the most time with. Do you talk about your faith regularly to those you are closest to? And Judea can refer to those that you know in passing. For example, acquaintances and neighbours, work colleagues and people you see in your regular cafe. How does your relationship with Jesus get communicated to those people that you know less well? Samaria refers to those people that you find difficult or you dislike. Jews and Samaritans intensely disliked each other, and yet Jesus told his disciples to be witnesses to even them. So who do you dislike or find difficult? How do you show God's love for them, even when you find it difficult to have a good relationship with them? And finally, the ends of the earth are those people that you don't know at all. The strangers, perhaps, that you meet on the bus or bump into on the street. How can God's presence be communicated even to those people that you may never meet again? Do you think regularly about how you could intentionally share Jesus with your Jerusalem, close loved ones, your Judea, acquaintances, your Samaria, your enemies, and the ends of the earth, the strangers? Do you recognise that Jesus' command to his disciples over 2,000 years ago still applies to you in the here and now, and will continue to apply until he comes again? How can we learn to take Jesus' command to make disciples seriously and to be intentional about sharing what we know about him with others? And so on to the second thing to ask ourselves when thinking about the Great Commission. What makes someone qualified to make disciples? What characteristics does someone have to share the gospel? Well, surely they must be intelligent, biblically educated, and able to accurately answer people's questions. After all, surely it would do more harm than good if someone tried to talk about God but couldn't answer all the other person's questions, right? Well, no. Jesus told his 12 disciples to go and make disciples, and those 12 disciples were just ordinary and unschooled men. They did not have the education of the scribes and the teachers of the law that enabled those people to read, record, and examine scriptures. Neither did the disciples have the ability to read, interpret, and apply the Mosaic law to daily life, like the Pharisees did, who interpreted scripture and held to oral tradition to help ordinary people live as faithfully as possible. Nor were the disciples like the Sadducees, who were usually associated with the priestly and aristocratic classes, and who had an intimate knowledge of the Torah. The disciples weren't the religious elite. They weren't the theologically trained people. So no, disciples do not need to have vast knowledge or intellect or many years of training to share the good news of Jesus with others. The 12 disciples certainly weren't scholarly or well-trained men with convincing persuasive skills. Many of them had ordinary jobs or hobbies, such as fishermen like Simon Peter and Andrew, tax collectors like Matthew, and political protesters such as Simon the Zealot. So, maybe you don't have to be intelligent or knowledgeable to be a disciple maker, but then maybe you have to be charismatic and a good public speaker. Well, again, no. If we again look back at Jesus' disciples, we see that, yeah, there are some like Simon Peter who may be said to have been good public speakers. But the fact that we don't hear most of the other disciples say very much at all suggests that they were not great public speakers. And if we look at one of the great evangelists in the gospel, the Apostle Paul, we can see that he may not have been very charismatic. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul quotes some criticism that he receives from the Corinthians, who accused him of being timid while in their presence but bold in their letters, saying his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. As Paul reminds us, when we think that someone must be bold, charismatic and outgoing to share the gospel, then we are judging by appearances and not recognising that God commissions and equips us for his work. So if you do not have to be educated, intelligent, charismatic or a good speaker, what qualifications do we need to share the gospel? Quite simply, a heart for God and a heart for people. A heart that loves God and a heart that wants others to know our amazing God too. And so all people who profess to be Christians are qualified to share the gospel. There are no special characteristics. God calls ordinary people like you and ordinary people like me. That is it. So we've seen that we don't need any special qualifications or characteristics to share God with others. But what about the things that disqualify us? Has anyone ever thought to themselves, God can't use me or work through me because I'm such and such, or because I've done that? Satan tries to convince us that we are not good enough to be used by God. He tries to tell us that we cannot possibly share the gospel because we have messed up too much and too many times. But these are complete and utter lies. God is in the business of using broken and flawed people for his kingdom. And we can think up an almost endless list of things that we think should disqualify. But God looks at us and sees what he can do through us. If you think that God cannot possibly use you for one reason or another, then I implore you to look with me at the people God used in the Bible. So if we start right near the beginning in Genesis, we have Noah, who God used to start afresh after he flooded the earth. Yet we see that he was prone to drunken stupors. Although Noah had a drink problem, God used him to save his creation from the flood. Then we have Abraham, who was a serial liar. On at least two different occasions, instead of trusting God, Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister, not his wife, so that the inhabitants of the land would not kill him. Jacob was a cheat and a swindler, who cheated Esau out of his inheritance, and then also lied to his father to get the blessing that was due to Esau. Moses was a murderer who killed an Egyptian. He also had some kind of speech impediment, which he argued made him disqualified for being the man to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Instead of disqualifying him, God provided Moses with assistance in the form of Aaron and told him to get on with the job. Rahab was a prostitute, Gideon a coward, and Samson an oathbreaker. David was an adulterer and a murderer, yet God called him a man after his own heart. Elijah struggled with fear, depression, and suicidal thoughts. Jonah fled from God and then threw a tantrum when he didn't get his way, yet both were prophets speaking the word of God to those he sent them to. Esther was an orphaned, exiled woman at a time when women had little influence, and yet she was able to bring hope to the Jews in exile. And in the New Testament, we have Simeon, who had to wait most of his life and was an old man before he prophesied over Jesus. Simon Peter was impetuous and often put his foot in his mouth. He denied Jesus three times, and yet Jesus said of him, "On this rock I will build my church." The woman at the well was a multiple divorcee and cohabiting with her current boyfriend, yet led her whole village to meet Christ. Paul persecuted the church and had many Christians imprisoned or put to death, yet his letters now form much of the New Testament. And on I could continue. All of these were flawed men and women, and yet God used them in many different ways. If we looked at all the people that God used, we would be able to find something about them that, from a human perspective, would disqualify them. By our own qualifications, characteristics, and achievements, none of us would make the cut. But by being forgiven, renewed, restored, equipped, and empowered by God, none of us are disqualified. In fact, the only thing that does disqualify us is our own free choice. If we choose to reject God or say that we won't let God communicate to others through us, then and only then do we become qualified from sharing the good news with others. So, we are all qualified to share the gospel, and we are commanded by Jesus to share the gospel to all people and at all times. So, God is with us. What are you going to do about it?